She's elated, gaining the strength to be found, matching courage and crazy. Elated, stirring acts of profound, soaring and journeying for more love. Whispers of her mirth, landing and turning for more love. Planting solid on earth, falling together.
Crossing line, own it, you know my worth. Put in overtime, jealous girls around me, they just want what's mine. Own it, you know what I'm worth. So you better put your name. Cause I don't have an endless supply of patience. Nah, nah, nah. I don't plan on waiting for you. With everything I have to do, come through. Prove you can back everything that you're saying. No drama, I'm too busy. Did that cross your mind? Own it, you know my worth. Put in overtime. Jealous girls around me, they just want what's mine. Put your name on it. Better play the game for it. Cause these opportunities don't come easily. Look who we could be. So you better put your name on it. Move out of your lane for it. Cause these opportunities don't come easily. So you better put your name on it. Name on it. Na na na. Na na na. Na na na. Name on it. Name on it. Na na na.
Usually, I never call or text, I'm hoping that you miss me. Snapchat, I see you in the city. Phone call, asking me if I'm free, yeah. You should come through, I give you some time. You can prove that you're learning, that you want me, that you want me. So you better put your name on it. Better play the game for it. Cause these opportunities don't come easily. Look who we could be. So you better put your name on it. Move out of your lane for it. Cause these opportunities don't come easily. So you better put your name on it. Name on it.
Good morning, Medford. This is Max Landers, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks for joining us today on this wonderful Sunday afternoon. Today, I have a very special guest on. It is Ryan Kane, my roommate, a dear friend of mine from freshman year. Welcome on. That was one of your favorite songs. Is that right?
Yeah. Thanks, Max, for letting me join you on your radio show. That was Mabel's song, Put Your Name on It, from her 2019 album, High Expectations, one of my favorites.
Really? So when did you first hear that song?
I actually heard it in a Peloton class when I was in Hawaii a month ago, and I haven't stopped listening to it.
And what do you like about it, would you say? Just the energy of it?
I think it just really like captures my the energy I'm looking for in a song. I would say that my music taste is definitely high energy girl pop, and that is a great example of what I like to listen
Excellent.
To.
Excellent. Okay. On the Peloton bike. So were you at a hotel, I assume?
Yes. I was on staying at a hotel, and they had Pelotons that you could use every morning.
Excellent. Wow. Well, thanks for coming on again. Appreciate it. So first topic of the day, Tufts University. You know, we're both at this great school. It's a fantastic school. I mean, it's a beautiful day outside. Look at our beautiful campus. So what is one thing if you could change one thing about Tufts, what would it be?
Max, that's a great question. And I think my answer changes pretty rapidly depending on my day and what I'm going through. I think this year it's just transformed into, it used to be transportation into Boston, but now that the Green Line station has been finally built and accessible, I would say it's really class size. I think that's what's difficult for me, being a STEM major, chemistry major, STEM major. The class sizes can be a bit large sometimes, which
really
is unfortunate. And you don't really get up into the high level classes as a chem major until you're, you know, senior or junior.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay. But correct me if I'm wrong, but you're still kind of interested in environmental toxicology. Is that another one
yes,
of your interests?
Yes.
That you're...
My technical major is chemistry with a focus on environmental health, specifically in the toxicology sector. And I'm currently in a 10-person class, actually. So not to hurt my argument, but most of the classes, even the environmental classes, usually are larger, 50-plus people.
50-plus people. So your toxicology class, you said, is 10 people.
Yes.
And what do you do? Is it like a discussion-based kind of thing, or is it led by the teacher?
It's led by Professor Desmaris. She's wonderful. She has worked in a lot of different areas in toxicology. This is specifically focused on mammalian toxicology. And right now, we have been discussing the different mechanisms in the pharmacokinetic route of toxicants as they enter bodily systems. And next, we're moving into different target organs and how they play a different role in how a toxicant is metabolized. So, yeah.
Very cool. What do you think is, from your expert opinion as an undergraduate student here at Tufts, what do you think is the biggest toxicology problem that people face nowadays? Is there some kind of exposure that we, like chemical exposure that we should be more cognizant of? Or is there an environmental toxicological, is that the correct term, problem that is pervasive yet kind of unknown? What do you think?
Well, as society's developed, we've become much more conscious of what we are putting into the environment and to our systems, both directly and indirectly. Unfortunately, we haven't been as aware of this until recently, and there's been so much virulent chemical exposure that has occurred for decades now that are unfortunately trapped in a lot of environmental media, such as soils, and when land development occurs or with erosion, water becoming more contaminated, it's causing toxicants to become introduced or reintroduced, I should say, into environments. And so to answer your question, Max, before I digress even further, I think the greatest threat really is trying to make up for our mistakes in the past.
Really?
Through environmental exposures, yes.
Okay.
I think over time, we will get to a point where we really have minimized our use of dangerous toxicants to the highest extent possible. But I think that time is pretty distant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are there specific areas that you're referring to? Is it in the United States mostly, or are you?
Yeah, it's in highly industrialized areas, right? Specifically, in areas like West Virginia, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania. There was actually a massive train crash recently in Ohio of methyl chloride that has just ravaged entire towns. And it hasn't been on the news, partially because probably organizations are trying to cover it up. Things are still going on today. Mm-hmm. In huge catastrophes with chemical exposures. And unfortunately, those environments will probably be affected for a huge, huge time period. But again, we're dependent on these chemicals for industry.
Interesting. What do you think is the best way to build awareness around these issues?
Unfortunately, humans are really selfish creatures, and it's easy to see an Instagram post about this, and that's referring to a company and a chemical that was recently introduced into water supply, and then the next hour buying something from that company without much regard for the issue that they're causing. So I think it's easy to say, you know, it's social media and being more vocal about these things, mm-hmm. but from being so focused on informing, disseminating information on environmental damages to the consumer base, I've just found that people are so easy to turn an eye or to kind of ignore the issue because it doesn't provide any benefit to them specifically.
I see. Okay.
So.
Very interesting. Okay, well, why don't we take a more positive turn?
Please.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are a pre-med major, or a pre-med, on the pre-med track here at Tufts now.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes.
And what was there kind of a turning point, would you say, in the recent history that kind of made you make that switch from environmental toxicology to this pre-med track? Because, you know, it's not too far-fetched, you're still a chem major, it's not too far of a jump, but it definitely is a big career path. So what, was there a major event or a landmark time or...
Yeah, well, I've had this idea of being a environmental toxicologist for a long time. Through high school, that was always the idea. And when I excelled in AP chemistry, I think that just kind of solidified or reinforced that this is the path for me. And to Tufts, that was what I kind of declared in my application. Although you don't actually declare your major until you're a sophomore, but I began working in the environmental chemistry sector a little bit in high school, and then I got more involved when I got to college, working with organizations like the Mystic River Watershed Association, mm-hmm. as an intern, doing research in Denver and in Boston in water quality and health. And I found that the work to be very captivating. I had the capability to do it. It wasn't that it was too difficult for me. I knew the career path I needed to go on, which was going to be intense. It required a minimum of a PhD. But what I found talking to folks in this career, in this area of toxicology and environmental chemistry, is they weren't happy.
Really?
No. And that kind of brought up a lot of concerns for me. And it wasn't like the path was, you know, a 2-year long path and I could deviate. It was once you're getting a degree specifically in environmental toxicology, you cannot go use that to then become a doctor.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they expressed a lot of upset from, and regret actually. And they were happy that they were contributing to an important cause. Environmental toxicology is so important for keeping both humans and ecosystems healthy. and trying to mitigate chemical exposure, but I realized that it just wasn't the right track for me. I would be working in areas that probably wouldn't be the most appropriate place for me to be.
Sewage treatment.
Sewage treatment. Oil refineries in Arkansas. It would be very rural areas working with folks who perhaps wouldn't be as accepting. And I just don't think it would be the right environment for me to really, the right space for me to live. And I still had an interest in toxicology and really trying to help folks.
Mm-hmm.
That's really my goal in life, is to make a difference.
Yeah.
And I realized that that strictly environmental toxicology was not the right track for me, but there are other avenues I could go down to is still achieving that goal.
Yeah.
And I realized that medicine actually made the most sense for me, and I started doing my research and found that clinical or emergency toxicology is a really great path to kind of go down, or to deviate from environmental toxicology and kind of redirect myself in this track. Mm. Still a lot of the same applications in science, but it's with a different focus, right?
Yeah.
The scope has narrowed from entire ecosystems and environments to human health.
Yep.
So this is applied in emergency rooms. Poison control can save lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it has great pay. It has opportunities all over the world. I find it, I think, a really, really important track, and one that's fitting for my interests.
Good. That's great to hear.
That's a long answer. Thank you.
No, that was a good answer too. Yeah, I thought about being pre-med for a while, and you're right. It's a very long track.
It is a long track.
It's a big commitment.
It is. And this track, it's going to take me down a lot of, it's going to take me through a lot of school time, and I won't be starting my career for a while.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I like school, and with my toxicology, environmental toxicology track, I still would have been heavily involved in school. It wasn't like I'm going from 2 years of schooling to 10 years of schooling, right? So it is a long track, though. Yeah.
And I hope it's worth it. I think it will be, you know,
if you
find the right specialty that you want to do. So good. Back to Tufts. So why did you choose Tufts at the end of the day? Because, like we've talked about many times, coming from Colorado, that's a bit of a jump. So was it the rowing team? I know you're a rower here. Or were there other factors kind of at play while you were during your college search, and ultimately how you ended up here?
Well, long story, so I'm going to try to keep it as concise as possible. Yeah. But when I started high school, my idea of higher education was to stay in state, to go to Colorado State University, great school, especially for life sciences,
mm-hmm.
Which is what I knew I wanted to go into. My dad went there, and he really enjoyed it, and it's a beautiful campus. And over the course of high school, I realized that I wanted to pursue, I guess, a little bit of a different track. I wanted to go to more of a elite, more rigorous environment. I wanted to go out of state. I wanted to experience a whole new environment and meet folks I otherwise wouldn't interact with if I stayed in Fort Collins, where Colorado State is. And so I kind of began redirecting my college search away from in-state schools to out-of-state private highly selective institutions, and I stumbled across Tufts pretty early on. It was in Boston. It was a large enough school. It was in an urban environment, and it had a liberal arts education, which is what I was looking for. I have kind of the philosophy of education should be based on, should be structured how you want to learn, what you want to learn. And of course, gaining the proper principles and foundations in it, but kind of charting your own path. And that's what Tufts really offered. And my journey really took a big turn when I started rowing, and I got injured sophomore year in track and field, and I needed to find a new sport. My dear friend Campbell Lead, who is just a wonderful human being, we've been friends for a long time, she was on a little rowing team in South Denver, and she told me about it and convinced me to join. And I found a great community of guys and found a talent that I possessed that I had no idea of. And within a year of starting, I was able to get recruited to Tufts University. And this was a really big deal for me, for my community, for my family. There's never been a recruit from Arapahoe High School, where I went to school, who was a rower. There hasn't been someone from my high school who's gone to Tufts in over 12 or 15 years. That's as far back as they can really go in their student history. Mm-hmm. The office did that for me. So I really don't know how long it's been, but school had a small assembly for me.
Wow.
It was a really big deal. Big deal for my team. I come from a really small little team in Colorado. And I'm really happy I made this choice. Tufts offered everything I wanted. It was my top choice. Mm-hmm. The size, the education, the environment, the team itself, the coaches, I could immediately tell were incredible humans and were unlike any of the coaches that I was talking to. They really cared about me. They saw my potential. They didn't care that I wasn't a big guy, that I didn't have this experience that a lot of my teammates have of rowing in middle school or freshman year high school. I started as a junior. I didn't come from a highly reputable team like Row America Rye. I came from Mile High Rowing Club, and I'm proud of that.
Very cool, very cool. And has Tufts overall lived up to the expectation that you had coming in, or has that changed?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I didn't realize actually how amazing Boston was. I knew Boston was going to be great, but Boston has really exceeded my expectations. It's just such an intellectual hub of really impressive people, and Tufts itself, I kind of had an idea of what I was getting in terms of like the student body and the experience, but yeah, it's really delivered on that. Students here, everyone has a reason why they're here. Mm-hmm. And they all, a lot of them differ, but I feel like I have a purpose being here, that I, that I'm in the right place.
Oh, good. Okay, good. How would you describe the student body at Tufts? Are there sections? Can you give me a good cross section?
I would say, there was a recent YouTube video actually released.
Really?
from maybe the Tufts Daily. And they asked students this question. And I found the answers to be somewhat accurate. If I had to describe Tufts students in one word, stereotypically, it's quirky.
Really? Okay.
Max, what would you say?
Yeah, I would say eccentric, and I would agree that it's each person has a niche that they're generally pretty passionate about. Like, I know people that, people that are super interested in politics, or people in my IR class that argue with the teacher because they feel so compelled to do so because they're so into the topic. The a cappella groups on campus, I would say by and large, are pretty good for universities, and that's another niche. And then obviously you have the athletes. I feel like there's a pretty big divide between the athletes and the non-athletes at the school. What do you think?
Yeah, I
do you feel that on campus?
I heard about it before I even got here.
Really?
And I also agree with that. You can almost just tell who's an athlete and who isn't.
Yeah.
Just physically, which is a little strange. That wasn't the case in high school.
Yeah.
Is
that a bad thing?
I would say it kind of creates a divided community a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, there are people who kind of bridge the gap. Of course, you and I have friends.
Mm-hmm.
Who kind of meet that, but I would say there is kind of a divided.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like maybe there's like a hostility between the two.
Oh, most definitely.
Because you know, like athletes kind of refer to the non-athletes as I don't know, in a kind of condescending way, like NARP, non-athlete,
yes,
regular
and,
person.
And I would say NARPs also say disparaging things about athletes
Yeah.
That they don't deserve to go to school here, that they're not as smart, that they're not as deserving, that they have more privileges, and perhaps that's true for some folks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's just too broad of a statement because you don't really know the background of where these students were coming from, right?
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. Before we move into our next section, we have to do our mandatory public service announcement. As after all, this is an educational radio show, and it's mandated by WMFO Radio. So today's PSA is about Logan Airport. Are you annoyed by all the loud noises and vibrations from planes departing Logan Airport? Our towns west of Boston are affected by greatly increased airplane noise and vibrations due to the FAA's Highways in the Sky decision. This means that on days with northwest winds, every single airplane departing from Logan's Airport runway 33L continues on just four narrow paths over specific sacrificial neighborhoods, with near constant noise for the humans underneath as a result. Join with your neighbors who are trying to change this. Every complaint filed with Massport counts, but it's the first from each household that matters the most. For more information, just visit logannoise.org. That's logannoise.org. This has been a public service message from the Logan Aircraft Noise Working Group in Medford Tufts. Fascinating. All right, the next section, and we're gonna get a little bit more controversial. So, and the topic is recruiting at Tufts University and recruiting at elite schools overall. So you were a recruited athlete. That's for later. at the end of the session, don't worry. So you're a recruited athlete. How do you feel about athletic recruiting at these elite schools overall? Do you think it's justified? Do you think that they provide value to the university? Do you think athletics has a lot of pull, or does it really depend case by case?
That's a great question, Max. Unfortunately, my answer is really limited due to the fact that I'm not a admission officer, so I can only really go off of individuals I've talked to. And just, like forums on College Confidential, right?
Yes, yes.
Which, is not the most,
reputable
yes, source yes. of information. So, I'm just kind of prefacing my answer with this.
Yeah, no problem. It's better than nothing,
Right. So obviously I benefited from being a recruit. So I have to say that it is important.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to say it isn't when it helped me out, right? Athletes do provide a purpose on campus as long as they are contributing or they're competing for the university, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by it varies the level of pull of. How did you describe it?
Pull or in admissions,
pull.
Yeah.
Yeah, pull and admissions. I think that really varies by school. In Division III, they can never guarantee admission like they do in Division I and Division II, which is why they have pre-reads where they look at your profile before you even apply to Tufts to see is there a chance of you even getting in,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know folks who've gone through that process and were immediately denied. So it's not like the system
takes anybody.
Right. There is some screening processes in place, but I would say Tufts, it I think it varies depending on the sport, the individual. It's still a holistic approach, right? It's not just, okay, sport, check, done. They still look at where the student came from, geographically, their high school, their race, their scores, things like that. I have noticed that some people, there are a lot of outliers, in both directions. I would say generally, athletes are significantly below average, or the average grade or GPA and and scores and just, I would say, extracurriculars and just
academic contributions.
Academic contributions. Their application is significantly lacking on average compared to what we call NARPs, right? And again, there's outliers in both cases, for NARPs and also for athletes.
You being one of them, I would say.
I think that would, I can't really.
I would say so. Let's be honest.
Thank you, Max.
That's
very kind.
So here's another question. So we won't name any names. We won't say anything. But I would say there are a certain number of athletes who are recruited to the university who may not even show up to one practice, yet still take advantage of the recruiting process in order to get in. Do you think that those athletes should have an obligation, like a written signed obligation, to compete for a minimum amount of time in order to take advantage of that process?
Yeah, this conversation has actually come up a lot since I've been here and met folks who unfortunately have gotten recruited and never even showed up for a single practice. Which is quite frankly just
Unacceptable. Yeah.
Right, because you are putting on your application that you are going to contribute athletically to the university, right? That's what you are bringing. Just like an SAT score, you're bringing that score to the university, saying this is what I'm able to get on a standardized test. You can add this to your average, of admitted applicants, whatever. But if you lied or if you cheated on that test or you lied on your score, then the entire data point is completely useless, right?
Right.
If you weren't valedictorian of your high school, and you put that on your application, that's a lie. And if you putting on your application that you're going to compete for the university and you never even attempt to do that, then I consider that is the exact same as the previous examples I provided. So, and keep in mind, if admissions, reveals that you provided inaccurate information on your application, I don't know what the exact ramifications are, but I know that it does have some consequence on your admission to the university, right?
Yeah.
So it confuses me why athletes, recruited athletes, are not who do not even attempt to compete, are not punished in the same way, right? As people who lie on their applications in other ways. So, Max, I'd love to hear your thoughts, but I think that for those individuals, there would need to be some consequences involved. Now there's nothing.
Yeah. I like the analogy that you made with, you're selling yourself to the university in a sense with your application. You're demonstrating to the university that you have a certain trait, a desirable trait or skill or talent that will bring value to the university. And yet you don't even bring that, or you don't even utilize that when you get here. And yeah, you're right. It is kind of actually unacceptable and kind of ridiculous. You see people that, were like in a recruiting class, walking around campus, and yet they don't even show up.
Keep in mind, those people also took other people's spots.
They're taking other people's spots. That's another actual factor as well. Like they're taking spots that someone else probably would have been thrilled to have.
Yes.
Yes.
So perhaps they're really undeserving of their place here.
Yeah.
If they're not going to
even try.
Right.
Yeah. Very interesting. I guess to each their own in a sense, but I don't know. It's very interesting to me that admissions for how, what's the word? I guess, you know, firm they are in with their rigor, you know, their standards. I guess that's the wrong word, but they're firm in their standards, that they kind of just overlook that little piece. And I bet you it's not an insignificant number of athletes that do this every year across all the teams. Think about that. I mean, how many athletes do we have at this school? How many teams do we have?
I know over a handful of folks.
Yeah, of course. And aggregated across all the teams at the school, I bet it's more than 10.
Most definitely.
10 spots. It's a lot of spots. So, interesting. Yeah. It's a tough problem. But I would say by and large, I would say most of the athletes here at the school are pretty great people. And I think that a lot of athletes generally are very passionate about their sport and work hard at
the
school.
Yes, I mean, we got, was it?
The trophy, what's it called?
Learfield's Director Cup?
Director's Cup,
right,
yeah.
Right, right. And I think that this is...
it's pretty impressive, you know?
It is. And that can be attributed to our athletes, right? That they're really passionate and they deliver results when they're on the court, in the field, in the pool, whatever. And I'm happy with our athletic community.
Yeah.
I think they do a really great job, obviously. Met a lot of great individuals.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unfortunate there are some folks that don't partake in this when they, you know, stated that in their application.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Would you say Tufts is a tolerant place?
I would say Tufts is tolerant if it fits in the right agenda, I would
Interesting.
Say.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say generally it's tolerant, but tolerant in the right direction.
The right lexicon.
Right.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, interesting. I would say it's a pretty decently tolerant place. It was actually, I would say it's more tolerant than I thought it would be coming in.
Yeah, I also agree with that, yes.
I'm differing opinions per se, but mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're also starting Athlete Ally, a chapter. Could you explain to the audience what that's all about and your accomplishments with that? It's actually very impressive.
Athlete Ally, it's actually a national organization that's focused on creating a safer athletic environment for LGBTQ identifying individuals.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about helping create a not only a safer environment, but also moving to allow for more equity between different groups, for more rights, for trans identifying individuals. It's really important to me, as someone who identifies in, in this community. There wasn't any type of affinity group related to this at Tufts, and sparked this this last year, and it's really taken off. I've already met a lot of wonderful straight allies and LGBTQ mm-hmm. athletes who have shared the similar passion, right,
yeah.
as I have. And we've already made a lot of progress. I've made connections to other schools now, at Harvard and BU,
mm-hmm.
At schools across the nation. We have a lot of potential, and I'm really excited for how we're going to grow.
It's really awesome. And you guys have you guys are planning currently a Boston mixer, right?
Yes, an intercollegiate Boston mixer between Harvard, BU, and Tufts Athlete Ally chapters.
Interesting. Okay, great. And then where will that be held?
We do not have... It's really loose right now in terms of the planning. We have just a general idea of tentatively planned for April. From the limited conversations I've had with the other chapter presidents, we're looking at it being at Tufts, but again, nothing has been confirmed.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're really looking forward to that.
I am. I created this as a way to connect with other queer athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already been semi-successful in that. And,
oh, for sure.
But really also just across Boston as well. You can feel like a little bit isolated sometimes.
Yeah.
being an out gay man on a sports team, but this has really helped me feel a little less alone.
Good. Yeah. And did you, when you started, when this idea came to you, and when you started talking to administrators about your vision for this organization, did you ever think that it would accelerate at such a rapid pace in camp,
no,
on campus?
No, I didn't.
Because it's pretty unbelievable.
I didn't.
What, do you have the second largest chapter right now in the United States? That's pretty impressive.
Yes. Thank you, Max. Tufts is a very progressive place, very gay-friendly, thankfully, and I'm definitely surprised. I knew there was going to be some interest, of course.
Yeah.
But no, it has really exceeded my expectations.
That's great. That's the way you want it to be.
And I think, being that this is just, you know, we started this in September. I mean, in future years, I can't even imagine where it's going to be by the time I'm like a senior.
Yeah, so that's super exciting. That's awesome.
Yes.
Great. Well, last question before we transition to our music section, curated by my wonderful guest here. What are you most looking forward to going into the second half of your time at Tufts? Because think about it, we're almost halfway through our college experience, and just reflecting on what you've accomplished so far and how your goals have changed and the people you've met, what are you most looking forward to?
Honestly, when I first decided on Tufts, one concern I had was housing. The fact that we only have
2 years, right?
Two years of confirmed on-campus housing. And I guess my opinion on this has really shifted to actually being a benefit. I'm really looking forward to living in a house next year with you and our two other friends on the rowing team. It's going to be a new experience, cooking together, just living in more of a different kind of communal space, I guess, having our own bedrooms, right?
Yeah, that's going to be nice, I'll be honest.
I'm excited for that. I think that's going to allow our friendships to grow in wonderful ways.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. And yeah, it's right now, for those who don't know, Ryan and I live in a triple on campus. This is the second year that I've lived in a triple, and it's tight. It's, you know, for three rowers who are generally, you know, larger people, and also all the stuff that we all kind of have together, it's a pretty tight space. But yeah, it'll be really nice to have our own kind of
areas.
It'll
also be a learning
campus
experience too.
Yeah,
being in a house together, I think that it's a nice I guess transition period between living in a dorm and being a complete independent individual or an adult, right? Living in like an apartment by yourself, right? This is going to be like training wheels, let's call it.
It's training wheels for the future.
For the future.
I like that. Very nice.
I feel more comfortable. I think I'm going to be more comfortable going off on my own after this.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. All right. Well, thanks, Ryan, for coming on. I appreciate your time and for joining me a little last minute. I had a great conversation with you. It's always enlightening to have a discussion like we had today, so thanks for coming
on. Thank you,
Max. What's our first song?
Oh, I think a first song should be International Smile by Katy Perry.
All right, that's coming right up. Thank you all for joining us this fine Sunday. I hope you have a great day. Take care. Peace out, Medford. This is Max, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Have a great day.
She's cosmopolitan. ready for takeoff.
I don't got that defensive, like a left back. I'm messed up, but that's off track. I'm guarded, but I'm sure that I'm gonna be letting you down. Gonna be letting you down tonight. Put your favorite heels on, 'cause they make you feel strong.
when you're looking good, you know you're gonna have a good time. Don't forget mascara and to keep your head up like Madonna would wear a lipstick redder than white. So let's go, roll your bumper and wine slow. Shorty, well, you can shine low, 'cause you got the light now, you got the light now. Ow! When you wear your hair down, it's like you're wearing your crown. Wave to the crowd and give them all the way, 'cause you're fine. So let's go, roll your bumper and wine slow. Wine shorty, wine slow. You can shine glow, 'cause you got the light now, you got the light now. Hey. So let's go, roll your bumper and wine slow. Wine shorty, well, you can shine glow, 'cause you got the light now.
Close enough, I'll take away the pain of